This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
All right, so today we are celebrating the journey of a young, entrepreneurial, passionate, phenomenal young woman, Ofentse Pitse.
Wow.
Who, like I said earlier, is the first young black woman to own and conduct an all-black orchestra. Can you see me?
I know. I can see you. Okay, let's move this a
bit.
Yeah,
like, we have eyes. Angles.
Yeah, I need to see your eyes.
I mean, that's incredible. So earlier I was talking about how Siya Kolisi, you know, the debate around Siya Kolisi mm-hmm. being the first black captain mm-hmm. and the fact that having first blacks is still a narrative that we're having in this country 25 years into our democracy. Mm-hmm. And that conversation is quite triggering, you know, because it makes us really think and reflect on what we've done, what we've actually achieved. And for me, it's still shocking that on the African continent, it is the first all-black orchestra.
Yep.
So I'm curious, though, like, what inspired you to do this? To like this project, you saw it in your head, and you were like, "I'm going to make this a reality." I mean, how did you do that?
For me, it was my love for music, and it started in the church. So I grew up in the Salvation Army, mm-hmm. and then I was taught how to play an instrument. So I started playing the English horn, and then from the English horn, I moved from there to like the cornet, the
There's
trumpet.
An instrument the called the English horn.
Yes. There's actually levels to these things.
Okay.
So there was the English horn, and then my love for sort of like classical music started from there. And then being the overly ambitious young person that I am, I wanted to learn more. So moving from the classical world and then to the very, you know, churchy type of music, and then I just merged it into jazz. And then my love for it also grew from the people that I was, you know, growing up under. And then the idea of creating like an all-black symphony orchestra came from what I saw. So for me, when I saw like these big orchestras and the symphonies or these theater productions, it was always like these old, you know, Caucasians and whatever. So I thought, wow, why have I not seen someone like me?
Mm.
And I started just asking those questions, and there was no answer to those questions. So for me, I was like, okay, how about we start? So I started, and I think for most part it's more a gift than anything, because to get this far it had to be something bigger than me. I was just literally available for this sort of like narrative, you know. I just was like, okay, I'm here, okay, what needs to be done? So I think really that's what it is. Yes,
I mean, you talk about how rare it is to find young black individuals playing classical music, playing classical music in a philharmonic orchestra. I don't know what the
philharmonic.
Terms are. Philharmonic.
There you go.
Orchestra,
yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. Were there any challenges at all? Did you struggle to actually piece together this orchestra? Because, I mean, if we're talking about how rare it is to find black individuals who play classical musical instruments, it must have been difficult to, you know, find them and piece them together to make this orchestra. So just talk to us about that journey of actually putting together the orchestra.
So it was very difficult because Anchored Sound started with the choir. So I took young people from like the marginalized, disenfranchised part of the community. So Katlehong, Timbisa, Pretoria, Soweto. And then I was like, guys, let us actually come together and create stages for us to actually share this talent. And the hardest thing about that was actually affirming the black child that they actually deserve a seat at the table. So it was not about their talent, because they're very good. You give them anything by Mozart, they kill it. Give them anything by Vivaldi, they kill it. So it was literally just saying that actually you deserve a seat at the table. And then moving from the choir, I was like, okay, what is the next greatest thing we can do? I was like, okay, how about an orchestra, you know, a full symphony? So I took the most sought after players in these big orchestras. So your JPO, your JYO, your field bands, your army bands, the best jazz bands. And I was like, guys, let's actually start something.
Right.
And then they were like, dude, are you sure? Like, you know, so for me, it was reinstilling that fact that dreams are valid. So it wasn't really about telling them that they are talented. It was saying that, okay, guys, I mean what I say. And it will be very difficult to start and to get where it needs to get to. And I know I'm a crazy dreamer, but I need you to just stick with me. And then I think the rest is history. So it was more getting them to believe in the narrative, you know, because it's very difficult behind the scenes, the things that I have to fight. I mean, the doors that I have to knock on, sometimes the doors close, but to still say, let's keep going, guys. Let's keep going on a vibrant budget and all that. So, yeah.
So I introduced you as an entrepreneur as well, right? Mm-hmm. And so I'm really curious about the entrepreneurial streak when it comes to this orchestra that you've started, because you were backing Judith Sapuma.
Tell me about that, hey?
At a Power Judith Sapuma collaboration concert. And so obviously that's you and your work ethic in getting this orchestra out on these kinds of stages. Yeah. And that is very entrepreneurial. And I'm curious about how are you doing that? How are you getting your name out there? Mm. How are you, you know, marketing yourself out there to a world that is largely black and largely not really interested in classical music.
It's like literally sending an ocean into a river. You know, it's literally that. For me, it was, I think the story of it all, of demystifying the whole Eurocentric concept of the orchestra and classical music, because me, I feel like rhythm and everything jumped off from Africa. So I think the first instrument comes from Africa.
The first sound comes from Africa.
So I was like, hey, what about we actually take this very European concept and make it African? So I was not about pushing what is already there. I was like, let's make it all black, but also let's tell authentically African stories. And I mean, with the Judith Sapuma thing as well, it was taking literally a concept that isn't normally seen, like an orchestra now in an Afro jazz concert or show. So it was, that collaboration was still about reaffirming the black child, because far beyond just having an ensemble, it was really to just say that actually this is possible, so let's try it out. And it turned out to be a very, very amazing evening. And I think my entrepreneurial side, just to answer your question, I mean, I studied architecture, and I think from the concept of breaking things and then putting them together, it really added to now my way of thinking when it came to anchored sound. So even presenting, because there's certain things that go far beyond sending an email. Sometimes you have to knock and be like, okay, Kenna Omajita, you know, let's talk. So I think because of the architecture world and being bold enough to have your ideas sometimes broken, and they're like, you know, this is not good enough, but still you fight for it. It definitely comes from what I studied at Wits. Yeah.
So this is just out of curiosity for myself. Mm-hmm. What kind of a conductor are you? I was in a choir in varsity, and we had a very strict conductor. So really, are you strict yourself?
No. I'm so emotional, and sometimes I try to be tough. I think because conductors, they just come to rehearsal, they open the music chart, and then they say, okay, let's start from the second movement. They conduct, after that they go.
Yeah.
For me, it's a one-on-one relationship with the players. I know their struggles. Some of them tell me that some of them don't even have the means to get to rehearsal. I'm like, okay, no, I got you.
Okay.
So it's that type of relationship. It's more an environment of young blacks who are really contributing to the development of each other than it is just a job. For me, it's not a job. Mm. It's literally me trying to sort of like contribute to the rise of a black narrative and the black economy as well.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Offense, thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
You are beautiful. You are absolutely excellent.
Thank you.
I think what you're doing, mm-hmm. what you are doing is brilliant, and it needs to be celebrated.
Thank you so very much.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.